This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.
Hi, and welcome to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, with special guests Shannon and David Carroll. They're going to be talking about the bizarre struggle with amnesia, how they got to the other side of it, and what they learned. David and Shannon live in Southern Indiana with their three boys and a dog. David is the pastor of a growing, thriving church, and Shannon runs a home-based wellness business while homeschooling their two younger children. They co-authored a book called One Thing Remains, One Couple's Traumatic Encounter with Amnesia and Their Life-Changing Journey to Restoration. Welcome to the show, Shannon and David. How are you today?
Oh, we're fantastic. It's so good to be with you.
Hello. Thank you, Mari.
So, as I said, you went through something completely bizarre in your life, which turned everything completely upside down. Share a little bit of that with us.
So, we were living normal, everyday American life with family and work and entrepreneur life and really into the world of homesteading and sustainable living and just busy. But, you know, we thought that was normal. That's what everyone does. And
Right. We
had warning signs that life was a little bit too stressful, but we pressed on because we're driven and just wanted to accomplish all and with our big drive and vision. And 2 years ago this spring, we ended up walking through a season of amnesia that was totally unexpected.
Wow.
Do you want to share some about that?
Well, you know, we go through life and stress, we sometimes wear as almost a badge of honor. We
Yes.
think it's something that we could just be proud of when stress is actually very damaging. Mm-hmm. And for me, I was just like everybody else. I was ignoring it. I was ignoring the warning signs and doing my thing. And next thing I know, I'm waking up in a hospital and my memories are gone.
He presented as if he was having a heart attack, and we were rushing to the hospital to get there quickly, and on the way he became unresponsive, and we had to pull over and call an ambulance, and I was expecting, as a background and as a registered nurse, just this major heart attack, but his heart checked out fine, and through a series of bizarre events, which we talk about more in the book, he, when all the dust settled and his heart was fine and his brain was fine, we realized he had zero memories of the last 8 to 13 years of our life. And it was totally, like we said, unexpected. He didn't know the place where we lived. He didn't know his career as a pastor. He didn't know the name of our church. He thought our kids were still in car seats instead of being 9 and 10 and 16. He didn't know most of everything. A quick example is we're sitting in the emergency room and I'm texting friends on my phone and he said, "What's that you're holding?" And I said, "Well, it's my iPhone."
And I told her, I said, "That doesn't look like a BlackBerry." And
like, oh, dear. We're back in 2009.
Wow. You know, I've heard, of course, of people getting heart attacks from stress. That's very common, especially with men.
Yeah.
But I have never heard that you could get amnesia from stress. That's unbelievable. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was the bizarre thing, because in the hospital, they ran every test imaginable, and the neurologist came in and he said, "You know, we've read about things like this, but you're our first actual live person that we've had to come in and try to help." And so essentially through all of the tests, they found nothing. And at the end of the day, they just said, "Here, your memories might come back in a day, a week, a month, or never. Just go live your life." And that's how it was left.
So we went home to a home that he had lived in for 5 years, but it was like walking into it for the first time. He had to ask questions like, "What side of the bed do I sleep on, and where are my clothes, and what's the dog's name, which toothbrush is mine?" Everything. If you can just imagine, 99% of what you know is gone. And it was really unsettling. It was a difficult season, and we didn't know if his memories would ever come back or not. So we were having to adjust and brace ourselves for whatever was ahead.
Wow. I can't imagine, David, how you navigated through this time. What kept you going and kept you sane? Because like Shannon just said, not even knowing what your toothbrush is, everything being so brand new to you, I can't imagine the overwhelm.
Well, I will tell you that it was extremely difficult. However, it was my faith that sustained me. And it was so easy to say, why is this happening to me? I mean, everybody, that's probably the first question that you would think of. Why is this happening? What's going on? But then I started to think about it, and I thought, why wouldn't this happen to me? Am I so special that life can't happen? And I decided just to take a different vantage point of either, you know, you can be a victim or you can be victorious. And I chose the latter and said, you know, I don't know what's going to happen at the end of the road, but I know that there's a road, so let's go down it. And I just started reading about brain health and mental health and trying to figure out what was going to be next, if there was going to be anything different and how I was going to approach it. But it wasn't easy. I don't want to kid anyone and say, oh, it was just all roses and everything was perfect. No, I did have struggles and not knowing all these people that knew me, I had zero recollection of. And so that was difficult. And where do we go from here? Those kind of decisions and things, you know, I had zero emotional attachment to our home, our homestead, anything, our garden, none of it. And so I had a ton of questions. And if you can think about current events, they were all gone. And so one of the things that I got online and I started going way back, and I would say major U.S. events, and I would put in a year that I knew I would remember, and I'm like, yes, and I just started marching forward until it started to get fuzzy. And so it was like seeing all of the major U.S. events, that all the changes in government and in demographics and culture, all those changes, I was just reading about it like I was in a history class. And it was taxing, but I knew I had to be brought up to speed somehow. And so Shannon, she was like my Google. And so she was my help, and just in an amazing, amazing way to come alongside me and help me navigate this new thing that was happening in our lives.
I will say that his brain got full very easily because he was constantly taking in new information and having to process it. But it was, they say that when you go through suffering, the real you comes out, right? And we did struggle. The book goes into a lot of the real and raw and vulnerable struggles that we had through this journey. But there was, he had a sweetness. He had a surrendered heart about it all. And we were just so broken and shocked from everything that we really just sought the Lord. And we grew closer through that time.
That's good. You know, Shannon, when David was talking about that you were his Google, again, I can't begin to imagine how overwhelming that must have been for you.
It really was. I felt like I couldn't let him out of my sight, like I needed to be there as his rock for every single encounter or conversation to save him if people were talking about things that he was just deer in the headlights about. I would quickly fill him in on everything, and it was a huge role. I didn't even realize how huge it was until afterwards. But I was grateful to do it. You know, I thought on the side of the road, I thought I was losing him that first day. So the fact that he was still alive, he was healthy, he was still my husband. We just had a huge gap gone in his memories. I was grateful to be able to do that for him. And I had family and church and a community that was carrying me. You know, David didn't know most of our community at the time, so I really was his main source of support, but they all carried me, and I could not have walked through this without their support.
How wonderful. So as harrowing as this experience was, even though I haven't finished the book yet, but just by the way you speak, I could tell that it brought you closer together as a couple, as a married couple. Would you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, absolutely. We know that even in marriage, getting married is the easy part. It's staying married that takes work, right? And so in marriages, sometimes you have disagreements and arguments, and sometimes it's those knock down, drag out situations, right? But in those times, that was all gone. I had no
right.
remembrance of any of it. So it was gone.
In fact, the night before his amnesia started, we had had a really big argument. And I'm sure that the stress of that was one of the factors that sent his brain into a spiral the next day and it shut down. Mm-hmm. But he didn't remember it. And here was something that is so fascinating and life-changing for us, really. He had a completely clean slate. He didn't remember the disagreements, the stressors, any hurt feelings. There was nothing negative in his mind about anyone, really. And because of that clean slate, it affected how he acted and how he treated other people, how he treated me. There was just this calm, gracious sweetness. For the most part, there were a few instances where we both had enough during it all, but it taught me how much we hold on to past hurts, and then that impacts our current situation. So mm-hmm. I obviously had all of my memories. I remembered the disagreements and the difficulties, but because I loved this clean slate that he had, I wanted that too. And so I had to choose to walk in true forgiveness, not just verbal forgiveness, but true mm-hmm. forgiveness of releasing and having a little amnesia myself, choosing to have amnesia myself for some of the things we had walked through. And our marriage was just so unified and sweet and positive. And, you know, we can tell the story in a minute about how David's memories miraculously returned, and they've been back for a while. And so we're in real, everyday, regular life now. And we still struggle with these things. But the message of the clean slate was so huge for us that we don't want to go back to how life was before amnesia. And we work really hard to keep short accounts, to overlook offenses, to make things right with each other as quickly as we can, because we tasted what true forgiveness really does look like. And it's so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That is so amazing. How difficult or not difficult was it for you, Shannon, to let all that go? Because you, like you said, you still had the memories of the arguments, et cetera.
You know, it wasn't as hard as you would think, because mm-hmm. the result, the impact of a clean slate and choosing to let things go was so beautiful. It was worth it. It was like, why would I trade carrying around baggage and hurt and holding on to hurt feelings? Why would I carry that around when I could have this kind of relationship over here that we were experiencing?
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's pretty cool. I love it. So now that you've talked about that clean slate, I know that that's one of the things that you encourage couples to do. So what do you believe is the first step for a couple that wants to start with a clean slate? Obviously, they're not going to go get amnesia.
Right. You definitely don't want to sign up for that. But with that said, you have to be real with yourself, and you have to be intentional, because if it's all a joke and you're really not serious about it, then of course it's not going to work. Mm-hmm. But if you are super intentional and you are purposeful and saying to your partner, I want to make this work, and I want to make it work right, and I want to make it work well. When you start to look at the other person for what they bring, their true value, their true worth, their true beauty of who they are, then all that other stuff seems to not really matter so much. And when you can consistently put that first, all the other little things that might bother you or bug you just don't seem to matter as much anymore. And so to start, you need to have a real conversation with your partner. And ask them, are they on board? How bad do they want it? And then together, that's the key. It's together. It can't just be one person. It has to be both of you doing it together, realizing you're not my enemy. We're on the same page. We're a team here, and it's us, and we're facing the world and all the pressures and all the stressors and all the situations outside. But together, we're a force to be reckoned with.
Mm-hmm. You know, there are, as a caveat or a disclaimer, there are some things that we do need to remember, right? And we're not excusing all behavior and
sure.
saying if there's a dangerous or unhealthy situation that you're just supposed to overlook that. We do not believe that whatsoever. If you're in a difficult scenario, you need to get help, and there is help, and you need to be safe, first of all. So please hear our heart in that. What we're talking about is the day-to-day disagreements, the act of two becoming one, of sharing this life together, and the rub that comes with that sometimes. That's what we're talking about. And honestly, if I can share from my faith perspective just a second, I have been given a clean slate in my heart, and because of what Jesus did for me is what I believe. So who am I to hold that against someone else when I myself have been given so much grace? And it also, it goes back to our thoughts. What am I going to choose to think about? Am I going to choose to think the worst about someone, or am I going to choose to remember the best? And the final thing I would say about having a clean slate is there comes a point in time when you need to have an intentional reset. And if that's getting away for a weekend, just the two of you, or a conversation, or a moment where you put a stake in the ground and say, I'm tired of living like this, and I want that clean slate with you, and I know you want it with me, and you have a moment of a reset, and that can be really powerful.
Mm-hmm. I like that. That's really great. Going away sounds like just such a great way to do it. Very nice. So we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors, and if you want to call in and ask Shannon and David a question, the number is 929-477-3869. That's 929-477-3869. You can start calling now, and we'll be right back.
Life isn't always easy. Work-life balance is often a struggle, and we feel we are losing control. When life becomes stressful, our work suffers, our health suffers, or worse. It doesn't have to be like this. Take the first step toward gaining control. Do it today by investing in work-life balance coaching with Christian Reiber at wellnesswithchristian.com. Christian helps you balance your life by placing control back into your hands, giving you time to live the life you deserve. Text Christian today at 716-785-2685 or visit wellnesswithchristian.com.
What happens in your body begins with your energy. If you can't find relief from your pain, it may be time to look deeper. Mindy Stritch is a certified healing therapist that will help you discover the root cause of what hurts. To learn more, schedule a free consultation. Call 678-642-7771 or visit www.mindystrich.com. That's MindyStrich.com. Restoring your energy will renew your life.
Fear, a powerful tool in law and politics today. Trial lawyers can be found in the trenches, confronting those fears at the forefront of battles for justice, equality, and civil rights. Zachary Blake is one such trial lawyer. If you're passionate about social justice or love political and courtroom intrigue with compelling, powerful plots and characters, you will love the Zachary Blake Betrayal Legal Thriller Series by award-winning author Mark M. Bello. Go to www.markmbello.com and get Betrayed.
We're back on Dare to Be Authentic Radio with guests Shannon and David Carroll talking about their bizarre struggle with amnesia and what they learned from it. So, David and Shannon, what do you think was the most important thing each of you learned from this experience?
Wow, the most important thing. That's hard to narrow it down. In our book, we go through five life-changing lessons that we learned from the experience. And that's why we wrote the book, is because it was so powerful and we wanted to share the life-changing lessons with others. So to narrow it down to one, I can think of my top two.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say one might be hard, but the first one that I would say is that suffering is normal. And that is, life is going to happen, right? And you're going to have situations that you know about and situations that you did not plan at all. But it's how we choose to address them. It's how we choose to go through them that really defines us and really, really matters. In all of it, you have to be able to give yourself grace, because there's not a single person on the planet that is perfect.
Right.
And so grace is so crucial. But suffering, it happens to us all. I know that anybody that would call in and say they've dealt with this thing or that thing or this thing, we could go on and on and on about different ways people have suffered. But suffering is normal, and we can be overcomers through it.
I would say a life-changing lesson for me that has really made a big impact is learning that God doesn't want us to live a stressed-out life. So the American culture of wearing that, as David said earlier, as a badge of honor is not, it's not good. And stress is a risk factor for heart disease, for stroke. And now we know it's a risk factor for losing your mind. And we don't have to live so stressed out. So listening to the warning signs that our body gives us, listening to the counsel of others, evaluating our peace level is all so important. And then finding ways to decrease stress in your life. And that's a whole chapter in the book where we walk through how to do that effectively. But living in a stressed out way as a consistent pattern is not healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really a great message, Shannon. What are the things that you as a couple decided to do differently to eliminate that terrible stress that you had?
Well, one of the things we did during all of that was we put everything on the table. And in life, there's a lot of good things that we do, but not every good thing is necessary. And not every good thing is beneficial or helpful for us. And so we put our house, our homestead, we had
our careers,
everything on the table.
The kids are lucky they didn't make it on the table.
I was thinking about that because I had three,
right?
And I'm like, that's very special.
So we decided to sell the house and the homestead with all the acreage and the orchard and the gardens, all of that gone. And so we went from all of that to the house where we live now has 3/10 of an acre. So it's a postage stamp yard. And so that frees us up immensely. And we've also been able to be intentional about setting boundaries for our time.
Yeah.
And that we were everywhere before and running ragged. And it, just like everybody else in the world seems to be, that we talked about that whole busyness thing. We are being intentional about not being so busy, about taking time for us, about taking little getaways for us, going for walks, doing all those things that we wanted to but never could get to before.
We've also started to prioritize sleep. We realize that when we sleep, that's when the brain resets and that's when we heal and process the events of the day. So we are intentional. You've heard us say that word now several times. We're intentional about getting adequate sleep at night. We're intentional about sometimes turning the to-do list over and going and taking a power nap. We listen to our body, and the priority of productivity is still there, but it does not supersede our emotional, mental, relationship health. That has to be there.
That's great. I love that. That's just so, so important. And it's a learning experience. And as you learn to do it, you know, I did that many, many years ago. And it's such a much more enjoyable and fun life because you don't have all that stress and all that running like, you know, lunatics from one place to another. I love that.
Right.
So let's talk a little.
You know, sorry, Mari. One thing is that this is a season, and in every season we have to reevaluate. So even though we've adjusted our lifestyle in a major way and we've reduced a lot of stress in our life, it still creeps up. With just this week, we've talked about, hey, we're starting to get a little bit more stressed out. Maybe we shouldn't be involved in this activity. Maybe we need to rest a little bit more. And we are constantly reevaluating, and that needs to be the mode that all of us are in for our life in each season.
Yeah, that's perfect. Thank you so much. So let's talk a little bit about your inspiration for your book and what the reader can expect.
Well, we want to share with you that there is good news, that David's memories did come back.
Yes.
26 days. After it started. Again, we didn't know if they would ever come back, but they did in a pretty miraculous way. You want to share how that happened?
Sure. So we were in Florida at a condo, and I would get up every morning right before sunrise and just sit out on the deck and watch the sunrise. I would pray, read my Bible, just spend time alone. And throughout the week, I did that every morning. Well, Friday morning came around, and I did the very same thing. Well, you know that feeling you get when you stand up and you kind of black out a little bit because you stood up
yes.
so fast.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like that, but it was instant. It was in a blink. Everything was black. And so I thought, okay, this is new. What's happening now? And so I just put my hands on the railing of the deck, and I stood there. It felt like an eternity. It was really maybe 10, 15 seconds. And as I stood there, I got this rush of a feeling, almost like you hit your funny bone. It started in the top of my head and whooshed through my body. And I blinked again, and in an instant, everything was back, and I was thinking about my church where I'm a pastor. And so it was early. It was like 6 in the morning. And so I ran back inside. Mm-hmm. Shannon and our boys were still in their beds. And I ran in. I said, I think my memories are back. And she goes, are you kidding me? I said, why would I kid about this? Ask me a question. Ask me something. She said, I can't think of anything. I said, you're not helping me. And so then she finally asked me a person's name. And I said, oh, that's so-and-so's mom. And that we knew that I hadn't remembered before. And then we just stood mm-hmm. there and cried like babies. It was
wow.
an amazing, amazing thing.
Yep. In an instant, the memories were back. And a lot of people ask, did he remember before, during, and after? And the answer is yes. So at that moment, he remembered not remembering, and then now uh-huh. remembering, and a little bit exhausting to walk through. But it was a powerful moment. Miraculous.
How beautiful. That's awesome. So let's talk about how to get a hold of you and get a hold of your book.
Well, our book is on Amazon. That's the best way to get that. There's the Kindle version, paperback, and hardback. And I know you had asked about what was our inspiration for the book, and it really was, we recognized this was such a bizarre story that had gotten the attention of so many. And our lives completely turned upside down, and we learned life-changing lessons through it, and we really got inspired to want to share those life-changing lessons with others. They're relevant. They're lessons we need to hear in our day and in this culture, and mm-hmm. we want to help others walk through those life-changing lessons in their life without having to lose their mind in the process. So
right,
we also
good.
Wanted to leave a legacy of this story for our children and generations to come. So we would be so honored if you wanted to grab a copy of the book on Amazon.
And then to get a hold of us, you can visit us on our website at davidandshannoncarroll.com. That's
right.
David and Shannon Carroll, CARROLL.com.
Very good. And you can also find them on my website, lifecoachmari.com. That's lifecoachmari.com. Just click on the radio show page, and they're there with their picture, a link to this interview, and a link to their website and their book. And speaking of the link to this interview, this is a live interview, but a replay of it will be available right after. So please spread this message. We live in a society that is just riddled with stress if we allow it to be in our lives. And they have such a great solution and great learning experience from what it does to you in your life and how you can overcome it. There's one last thing you'd like to say to a listener. We have just over a minute.
One last thing. Thank you for listening, and we hope that you're able to really step aside, step out of the hamster wheel, get away, and evaluate your life. You might feel like you don't have time, you don't have energy, but it is worth it to spend some time in reflection. And I'll end with the title of our book is One Thing Remains, and there was one thing that David did remember when he had forgotten everything else. And our whole book is based on that and that life-changing lesson.
Beautiful. Very good. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, Shannon and David. It was a pleasure having you. And thank you for listening in to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. Catch us next time. And bye for now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.